Welcome to Greenhouse Grower to Grower, the podcast where we talk to growers from across the greenhouse industry about market trends, innovation, their biggest challenges and opportunities, and more. I'm Brian Sparks, editor of Greenhouse Grower. Almost every episode of this Greenhouse Grower to Grower podcast has featured a conversation with a grower. However, there are times when certain topics supersede anything else. So far in 2024, we've seen too many large greenhouse operations shutting down. And while there are many reasons for this, one of the biggest is the lack of a succession plan or an exit strategy. In this episode, I'm joined by Chris Simaglio, Managing Director of Pivot Point Business Solutions. Chris has more than 30 years of experience in horticulture, going back to his time managing a lawn and garden marketing firm. Chris and his team specialize in helping growers build value into their company and their team, so when the time comes to exit the business, they are well prepared. We talked about how to make succession planning a priority, the consequences of not having a plan in place, and much more. Here's our conversation.
You know, I want to start with, you know, as we've started 2024, we've seen, while there's been a number of companies in this industry that, you know, are doing very well, they're in expansion mode, you know, they're focusing on the consumer's gain during the pandemic. You've also seen situations where, for a number of reasons, companies are having to close operations. One of the biggest things that we're hearing is the lack of a succession plan or an exit strategy for when the owner is ready to retire or just pass the farm on to whoever. Let's start right there with, you know, why having that exit plan is such an important topic, and also why you think that the operations tend to be underprepared for something like this.
Well, thanks, Brian, and it's great to be with you here today. And it's a favorite topic of ours that we're talking about. Look, when it comes to the industry, we get it. We're all busy, especially this time of year. We spend so much time working in our business as opposed to on our business. We're a crazy bunch of workaholics, and we don't want to talk about it. It's emotional, you know, but I can tell you, if you think your people aren't thinking about it, I can assure you they are. Ben Franklin, we believe, said it best. And he said, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. 100% of us, and this is a data figure, you know, beyond doubt, 100% of us have to exit our business someday. Mm-hmm. 75% of those, though, from survey data that we've gotten from the Exit Planning Institute, profoundly regret exiting within 1 year.
Wow.
And that's a figure that, you know, as exit planners, we kind of take that to heart. It means they have not done the necessary preparation. It was kind of a forced deal, or they miss it. You know, we talk to owners and we try to get them to kind of grieve the business a little bit, but also look forward. It's not that we're leaving something. What are we heading towards? What's the next chapter look like? And we're busy people. The growers that we work with, very busy people. And they'd rather be working in the business than thinking about these things a lot of the time. Now, we can tell you that 75% are likely to exit their businesses. This is all businesses, mostly family-owned, which is the majority of American businesses, are going to exit in the next 10 years. That's 10 million businesses at a value of over $14 trillion. That is the biggest transfer of wealth in history. Matter of fact, we call it the silver tsunami. Okay. Only the best will sell in that scenario. And 80% of businesses, now I'm taking a holistic figure, not necessarily talking about the hort industry.
Right.
But 80% of businesses won't sell. And you couple that with the fact that a business represents 80 to 90% of an owner's net worth. It's important. Mm-hmm. So we really try to focus on, you need to start thinking about this. Whether you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, the time to start thinking about this and planning for this is now.
Okay. You know, and I know that there's, you know, a couple different ways you can go when it comes to exiting your business. You know, there's, if you're in a family business and you've potentially got the next generation, you know, that's part of the process. if you don't have somebody who can immediately step in, I know there's other options, whether you're looking to sell the business or maybe turn it over to your, to other team members. Can you kind of talk about the differences in those and maybe how you might prepare for each of those different scenarios?
What we're talking about, Brian, is basically exit options. And, you know, your options are either an internal or an external exit. Mm-hmm. Internal could be family succession. And in our industry, especially, we see that quite a bit. It could be a management buyout. It could be getting your people involved in the business. It could be an ESOP or an employee stock ownership program, mm-hmm. Which we've been seeing increase in popularity quite a bit. The other options are a third-party sale, an external sale. And we see that quite a bit when there is no family succession. You know, on the family business side of things, and we hear this a lot, especially from our clients, mom and dad have worked so hard building the business, and they've struggled and strained to put their kids through law school and med school and all that. And they'll say to mom and dad, you know what? We don't want it. And that's what kind of brings on the third party sale. In that instance, you could be looking at a financial buyer, a PE group, for example, or an investment group. Our industry, especially since the pandemic, has become quote unquote sexy in the eyes of many in the financial markets. So that's an option. And another option is to find a strategic buyer, you know, somebody who's in the industry, somebody who would look at your business as an opportunity to continue to grow theirs.
Yeah.
And then of course, there's liquidation, which is something we don't necessarily recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I know from presentations that you and your team have given at various conferences, including our own, you know, you've talked about this should be one of the first things you do when you either start or buy a business yourself, is to be thinking about how do I get my company financially well equipped for whoever takes it over. Can you kind of talk about why that's such an important step right from the beginning? I know it's kind of a weird concept. You start a business, you're in your mind, you wouldn't necessarily be thinking, what am I doing to get rid of it? But it's got to be an important part of the conversation.
Right. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, in a lot of the seminars and educational sessions we do, we talk a lot about building value. It's very important to build value in your business. Exit planning, succession planning is just good business planning when you look at it. It's good strategic planning. By building value in your business and hitting what we call the 8 key value drivers, or what buyers look for in a business, you're not only making your business more valuable, but it's making it easier for the buyer to see how they can grow this business in the future. We may have had 20, 30, 40 years in our business, but when that buyer takes over, that's his or her first day. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly going to be looking at ways to take their investment in your business and take that to the next level. You know, and from the planning side of things, it takes a good 3 to 5 years to get ready. And we look at value building as being critical during that time frame.
Okay.
It's kind of like when you put your house up for sale. You know, you don't open the doors one day, you know, with dirty dishes in the sink and dirty clothes laying everywhere and say, buy me. No, you stage it, you get things ready, you repair things, you look at ways that will you know, build value in the eyes of a potential buyer. Mm-hmm. And preparing your business for a sale or a transition to family is much the same way.
Yeah. You know, before we go too much further, I do want to touch on your own background. You know, this is obviously a very important topic, you know, for the industry and then for you and your team as well. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you got into, you know, this segment of the industry and how that shaped why this is such an important topic, not just for the industry, but for you as well?
Yeah. I have over 30 years experience in the horticultural industry. I came up through a family business And my dad built the business, a sales and marketing firm in Chicago.
Okay.
And as he was going through succession planning and, you know, figuring out what his exit would look like, this is where I got involved quite a bit.
Okay.
I eventually took over the company and eventually sold my share of the company to my sister.
Okay.
Because I wanted to pursue a different direction. And it was this direction, succession exit planning. I found I really had a passion for it. I had worked a lot with different companies over the years in the industry, helping them prepare and sell their business. And 7 years ago, my partner, Todd Downing, and I started Best Human Capital. Mm. And we realized early on the need for this in the industry. Matter of fact, one of our first clients said to us, "Hey, I need you to find a replacement for me."
Huh.
And oh, by the way, do you guys know anything about succession and exit planning? Well, we knew a little. We had, you know, experience we could bring to the table. But since then, we've gotten the necessary certifications, certified exit plan advisors, exit map advisors. We are also certified value builders,
right?
Which is through the value builder system. With those, you know, certifications and the education and just our general experience, we have since grown the practice quite a bit, and we have partnered with a company called Pivot Point Business Solutions. Mm-hmm. Pivot Point gives us a wealth of resources that we can bring to bear on a succession and exit planning engagement. And it's been a great partnership for us. We've been doing a lot of different industry events. One was the Grow Summit, Grow Executive Summit that we did a couple of years ago, which was fantastic, Brian. Mm-hmm. Cultivate and Mance and, you know, other speaking engagements that we've had. It's been quite a journey for us, and it's been very gratifying to see, you know, growers that we talked to who didn't really have a clue, in the beginning, and taking them through the process and the necessary steps and to build value. It's become a passion of mine. It's been a very gratifying experience, and we have many on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about that passion, and as you have some of these conversations, particularly with, I'd say, within the past few months, you know, the personal relationships that you and your team have built with growers in this market. And I remember, you know, when we first heard the news about Skagit Horticulture in Washington, I was talking with Todd, you know, that's the first thing he told me is, you know, this isn't just us working with a client. This is personal because we've gotten to know not just the company, but the people within the company. So how do you have those types of conversations and kind of balance that line between the personal focus versus, you know, here's what you have to do, and sometimes, frankly, here's what you should have done as a business to avoid something like this from happening.
Right. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, right?
Yeah.
it is, sometimes these conversations are difficult. You know, this is why we go through a period of discovery. Mm-hmm. You know, any consultant or advisor can come in and say, well, you need to do this, or you need to do that, or this and that, and A, B, C, D. And we don't take that approach at all. We need to understand and learn about the business first. Mm. And one of the ways that we're different, you know, an accountant will look at the numbers. A financial planner will look at the finances and future investments and what this means from a tax purpose, for example. A risk mitigation person will look at insurance. We tend to take the holistic approach as a certified exit plan advisor and really dive into the personal side of things, mm-hmm. as well as the business and financial readiness. Yes, we have relationships out there that and we've worked with some great people in the industry. We have a passion for the industry, a shared passion, mm-hmm. for the industry. And that's one of the beautiful things about the horticultural industry is the camaraderie and, you know, that sense of just wanting to help the other guy that you don't see in other industries. You really don't. You know, you'd never see the CEO of Coke calling up the CEO of Pepsi and asking him for advice. I mean, it doesn't happen in those industries, but it does in ours.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we have been, you know, really focusing on is that aspect of the industry, how to advance the industry and make it better. Mm. Well, one of the ways that we've been focusing on is, okay, what's the plan for the future?
Yeah.
You know, what is your end game? What does the future look like for you? And that has helped us a lot in these conversations because we are addressing that emotional and personal side. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing the number that we talk to and they're like, what's going to get me out of bed in the morning? I played a round of golf last week. It's going to bore me to tears. What am I going to do? And that's where we really focus on what are you heading towards? Not what you're leaving, but what are you heading towards?
Yeah.
And, you know, having these discussions, they're not easy, but they're necessary. And we find a lot of times, this is the first time these folks have had this discussion. You don't want to talk with your people about it because there's a fear that they may be heading for the exits.
Right.
You bring up succession exit planning. They may have an accountant or a lawyer or financial advisor, but they may not have had these discussions. Mm. And that's where we kind of help bridge the gap there.
Yeah. Well, and to your point too, you know, it's easy and I'll put myself and I'm sure you in the same category as well, where we are so focused on the day to day. This is what I have to get done today, or this is what I have to get done this week. Those really high level, big picture focus areas that you got to look at. It's never easy to address those or feel like you can find time to address those things. Just as an example, if you go to, you know, a conference like Cultivate, for example, critical topic here, but if you're looking at two different classrooms, we'll say one of them's talking about succession planning, the other one's talking about like new technology, you're always going to see a more crowded room for that new technology because everybody wants to see the latest thing. But, you know, to your point, what can we do to move people into that other room and make this a priority, even if it's not the most exciting topic sometimes, but as you said, it's maybe the one of the most necessary topics that we have to talk about.
You know, and that's a good question. You know, how do we make this a priority? And we always start with, you know, Stephen Covey had this line. He was the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. And his line was, begin with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, what is your end game? What are you heading towards? It's hard. We know it's hard. These are hard discussions. But most importantly, get educated. Cultivate sessions, you know, different seminars, talk to your advisor, talk to a CEPA, a certified exit plan advisor. Mm. You know, exit planning, it's good business planning, first off. But, you know, you really need to look at your personal, financial, and business readiness as well, too.
Okay.
Focus on what buyers want. If you're focusing on what buyers want, the tangibles and intangibles, you know, those drivers of value in the business, everybody benefits because the business continues to grow and your people are happy. And there's more. And matter of fact, we've had several that we've worked with where, you know what, kind of enjoying myself right now working on the business as opposed to in the business. I think I'm going to stick around for a while.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But at least they're ready to make the change, where before they may not have been ready. And one of the things we've been finding in some of the recent seminars and educational sessions that we've been doing is a lot more young people mm-hmm. there. And we love it because in our opinion, it's never too early to start thinking about this.
Yeah,
this topic, because it does take time. There are those who say, well, you say 3 to 5 years, but I really want to be out in a year. Of course we can make that happen. And we have clients, you know, where time is a concern. It's a time sensitive move, but building value, even within that restricted time frame, is so important, not just for your return, but for the future longevity and your legacy in the business. Mm-hmm. Our big, you know, line to owners is no regrets, succession and exit planning.
Okay.
because we see that 75% number, and it casts a pall over the whole industry. Mm-hmm. But you know, we work on that to try to limit those regrets.
Yeah. Well, and I would imagine too, in an industry like this, where a majority of the businesses are small businesses, where the owner might also be doing a lot of the day to day. And I imagine part of this is being able to put the trust in your team to let them focus on those day-to-day activities to give me then more time to focus on something like this.
You know, you just hit upon a major topic that we hit with pretty much most of our clients in the industry. And that is, we call it the owner's trap.
Right.
Or the owner centricity or owner dependence. Especially this time of year, it rises to the forefront, you know, because I can't talk to you right now. I gotta get the trees out of the field, or I have to, you know, take care of this issue in the greenhouse or what have you. And it's a big one in this industry. The key to that is your people. There are four C's we concentrate on. Four capitals, we call them. There's human capital, your people. There's your customer capital, you know, how is the spread of your customer base? There's the structural capital, the processes and procedures, and then there's social capital, which is your company culture. If all four of those capitals are running good, then you don't have to be so involved in your business.
Right.
And I can tell you, Brian, workaholics are a bad bet for a potential buyer. Those who are constantly in their business, those who are the rainmakers, those where every decision is coming through them, they are a bad bet. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at not only big discounts on that, because now they have to find somebody to replace you, and it may be three or four people that they need to replace you. Yeah. But it's the idea is to get the business running by itself. Mm-hmm. It's not your job to take care of the customer. And I know a lot of times it sounds like heresy. It's your people's job.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. And the more you get buy-in from your team is by being able to give them the ability to make decisions for the business on their own without having to, as you said, you know, make sure that the owner is the one who's dictating things from up above, really, you know, get the whole team to be able to get involved in that decision-making process.
Absolutely. And you know, I want to clarify too, customer satisfaction is very important. Mm-hmm. But if you know your customers by their first name, or if they know you by your first name, you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. That's your people's job. Let your people take care of the customer. Let your people bring the rein in from a sales perspective. Let them do these roles. We have a client that we work with, and he's like, oh, you know, another problem in shipping. I gotta dive into it. It's like, whoa, hold on a second. You have a shipping manager. Why do you, the owner of the company, have to dive into this?
Yeah.
And it's hard. We know, you know, it could be your name on the building. I got to make sure that this is done right. Well, okay. Have your people been properly trained? Mm-hmm. Have they been brought up to speed on this? Do you have learning and development programs to get them up to speed? Is there a mentorship program? Are you spending enough time with them to avoid this in the future?
Yeah.
And see, these are the questions and what we try to work on with owners. There's a org chart called a hub and spoke.
Okay.
And basically it's the dot in the middle and all these spokes coming out from that. And we've seen quite a few organizational charts in the industry just like that.
Okay.
And we got to get away from that.
Yeah. No, I certainly can understand that. You know, Chris, you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, learning and understanding where this industry is when it comes to this topic. And that I kind of want to use that to transition to something recently that you and your team has been working on. And that's a survey to really dig into this. Where do we stand as an industry with exit planning or succession planning? Can you kind of talk about, you know, what led you down this road of putting together this survey and then what you're kind of hoping to accomplish through this?
Yeah. And we're really excited about this survey because a lot of the figures and the data that I've been giving you have been taking a holistic look at all businesses in the country. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is all well and good, but a grower in the horticultural industry differs quite a bit from an ice cream shop or an auto mechanics place of business or what have you.
Yeah.
And our industry is different. You know, there's a lot more family succession. There are different needs and concerns. And we as an industry want to kind of know what the other guy is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the makeup. You know, what's Joe doing over there? What did he put in, you know, system-wise? And you see this at the trade events. You know, there's a spirit of camaraderie and sharing best practices out there. You know, Greenhouse Grower, for example, such a great resource for our industry. So our goal is to kind of fill that knowledge gap in the industry and take our own temperature.
Yeah.
What do we as growers and horticultural entities, suppliers, retailers, what do we see when it comes to succession and exit planning? Mm-hmm. So this is to just provide a much needed baseline, determine where they're at. They could be tracking above, they could be tracking below their peers, but it's really to answer the question, how ready am I? And how ready is my business for exit planning and succession? And how do I score on these different metrics and KPIs that are important when a future buyer or successor? We always take the family succession in with the possible third party sale. Mm-hmm. And how do I rate?
Yeah. So I know as we're talking now that the survey is currently open. So when are you hoping to have responses for that? And then what are the next steps after that? I know that you've got some plans for putting something out around Cultivate. So can you talk about that?
Right. And thanks for the reminder on that too, Brian. You know, folks, check your email. we are releasing emails in waves to owners in the industry. We really appreciate, Brian, you putting that link up on Greenhouse Grower as well, to the survey. We want to hear from owners on this topic. We want to hear from as many of you as we can. Representative sample would be, you know, mid-100s to 200. Mm-hmm. That's our goal for this. But what we plan on doing at Cultivate 24 is having a special afternoon session in one of the session rooms at 4 o'clock on Monday the 15th. And this is where we're going to release the results. And it's going to be a fun session. And we invite everybody to attend because it's going to be an interactive event too.
Okay.
We're not only going to post the results, but we have this special nifty software we're going to be using where we can kind of take the temperature of the room and take survey results of the room and see what everybody in the audience is thinking.
Oh, very nice.
So we're real excited about it. And again, you know, yes, we can take a holistic picture of the U.S. When it comes to businesses, but isn't it better when we're focusing on our own industry and what we think? Your opinion matters. So please, if you have not received an email, there is the link on the Greenhouse Grower website. And we're going to be putting out a lot of social media on this as well too. This is your chance to get your opinion in on a very important industry topic. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we've talked a lot in this conversation on very tough, very emotional subjects. You know, I do want to try and end things on somewhat of a positive note. So just a couple things, you know, as growers are facing a lot of challenges right now, what do you think are some of the steps growers can take to make sure that they stay resilient amid, you know, this and other market challenges, because we haven't even talked about, you know, the cost management and labor and all those sort of things, succession planning and exit strategy planning being one of those. What can growers do to stay resilient in a market like this?
Keep the focus on building value. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I'm very bullish on the industry. I grew up in the industry. I have a passion for it. And people that we bring in from other industries and that I talk to from other industries love it as well. This is not a cutthroat, I'm going to get you, you know, hyper competitive type industry. Of course, there's competition. Of course, there are concerns and challenges ahead. Build value. This is not only just for succession and exit planning, it's just good business strategy. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about building value, what are we talking about? Well, there are many different drivers of value. I would say to owners, and we do quite a bit, financials and cash flow. That number, EBITDA, focus on that. That is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. A lot of buyers use that as a measure of value and will assign a multiple to that number. Work on getting that number up. It's very important. Business independence. You know, are you independent from your customers? And by that, do you have too many eggs in one basket?
Sure.
Or do you have a spread of customers? Employee independence. Who's the disaster scenario if they left? And supplier independence. We saw a lot of that with supply chain. So focus on the independence of the business. Is there recurring revenue in the business? Do you have good control of your market? Or are there barriers to entry? Mm-hmm. Customer satisfaction. Now, you know, we work with a client and we asked him, hey, tell us about your customer satisfaction level. And he said, they're 100% satisfied. Like, this is fantastic. Where's the data? Oh, no, I just know. Quantify, then qualify. You need to measure this. This is why we're doing the survey too. You know, we can throw out guesses out there, but unless we have that hard data, it's hard to make a case for what we're saying.
Sure.
Growth, another important point of this too is growth planning. Now, we get from many owners that, well, I'm going to be leaving my business in a year or two. Why am I concerned about growth planning? It's not for you. It's for the potential buyer. They want to see how they can grow this.
Yeah.
And they want to learn from you how they can grow this. And then owner independence. You know, this is, we see this so much in the industry. I can't tell you how many org charts I've seen where the owner is plugged in all these different boxes, you know, all over. We have to, and we know it's tough. We know it's hard to do this because we as business owners want to have that involvement in the business. Nobody's saying you can't be involved. It's just have the people in place to do this because the person that is going to take over your business, and you may have to stick around for a while. Sometimes you might like that. Sometimes you may not. But we see that quite a bit. But you want to have that org chart filled in with other names.
Right.
So owner independence. So those are the things that I would say, you know, to the industry. I have to tell you, I'm very bullish on the industry because I see, you know, firsthand the youth that are coming into it and the excitement that they're bringing to this. We're in the growth business, right? We grow things. And it's very heartening for me to see that, especially before the pandemic. I saw this figure the other day. I couldn't believe it. Between 1997 and 2017, the horticultural industry lost 53% of educational programs at universities. Hmm. So there were 53% less graduates in horticulture. It's devastating to any industry. We're seeing that rebound.
Yeah.
And so great associations, American Hort, great resources such as Greenhouse Grower, great industry events. We help each other. There's a camaraderie in this industry. And the future is also bright because of all the tech, automation, AI that's coming out. Things that our parents could only dream of. That we're seeing firsthand being applied in the industry, it really is, you know, heartening to me, and I see a great future for the industry going forward.
Thanks for joining us. You can learn more at greenhousegrower.com. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen, and please leave us a rating as it helps other podcast listeners find the show.